We are called to partner with God. God allows us to walk with Him, to be yoked together with Him, and this new life. And the only way we experience life is to be connected to Him who is life. And Jesus said in John 15, we are to abide in Him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we must abide in Him who is the vine. So I wanted to revisit the topic of prayer and do a teaching. And some of you, this will be something you're already quite aware of and familiar with, but for others, there'll be some revelation in this and some understanding. I pray that God will reveal to all of us the importance of a prayer life. What is prayer? Prayer is man exercising his legal authority in Christ on earth to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. Man exercising his legal authority on earth to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. Now, why is this? Why is it necessary for us to pray? Because God gave us dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:26. God didn't say, let us, but rather let them have dominion. So we are responsible for this realm, amen, that we're in. We are God's ambassadors. We are His representatives. We are to agree with heaven, amen, and God's will, God's purpose, and call that into the earth realm. And we have to understand that things are not going to change unless we are people of prayer. And the reason why many of us struggle is because the flesh is getting the upper hand because of a lack of anointing, a lack of God's presence, because there's a lack of genuine prayer. God is calling His church to be what? A house of prayer. You and I are the house of prayer. Would you agree? We are God's house. And we are to pray personally, but we're also to pray corporately. Amen. As we gather in His name. How many know that God's purposes are more important than our plans? I mean, I don't know if everybody can say amen to that, because a lot of times, by the way we live, we're saying the opposite. God, I know what you want, but for me right now, this is what I want. Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel or His purposes, that will stand or they will prevail. His purposes will prevail. So God's counsel, God's will, is more important than ours. What God is wanting is a people who will partner with Him and willfully submit their will to His will so that He can accomplish His plans and His purposes through us on the earth, because God has called you and I to partner with Him so that His purposes will be accomplished. All right. So you got that, right? That's why naming and claiming things according to our will doesn't work. That may work for people who are in Buddhism, who will sit around and chant for wealth and prosperity or whatever it is they want. They will chant over and in repetition. But Jesus says we are not to use vain repetition as the heathen do. Amen. But your Father in heaven knows what you have need of before you ask. And so we need to prioritize what God wants first, and know that when we pray in agreement with what the Father wants, what the Father's will, that He hears us. So we need to know what God is saying. And how many know that you can name and claim something that God has promised you? All right? So if you're naming and claiming a Cadillac, well, you may end up with a Ford Pinto or something, but I think the whole idea of naming and claiming has gotten out of hand. Would you agree? We've gotten off scriptural base with some of these doctrines, okay? And does God want everybody poor driving a dilapidated Ford Pinto? I don't believe so, no. But is everybody going to be rich in this world? No. No. How many know that whatever you receive a stewardship with that, right? A responsibility comes with that which you have. Okay, so to whom much is given, much is required. All right. But God is looking for individuals. He's looking for people who will stand in the gap. Okay? One person can make a huge difference. And the enemy, of course, is trying to talk you and I out of prayer. He's trying to sow doubt and unbelief, and that somehow our prayers are not being heard, they're not effective. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, because in some cases your prayers are not being heard. And we're going to talk about that and how we can ensure that our prayers will always be heard. Now, God hears all things. What I mean by being heard is that God will respond to your prayer. How many want God to answer your prayers? All right. Of course we do, right? We don't want to just sit down and do some vain thing of sitting around and asking for stuff. And that's what some people's idea of prayer is, just sitting around in a circle asking for stuff. Okay. Now, if we pray in harmony with the Father's heart, His will, His desire, we know He's going to hear that. Amen. He's waiting for somebody to say, Lord, I will stand in the gap. I will be an intercessor. Amen. I will enter into my priestly office as a royal priesthood, and I will make myself available for you to work through. Amen. And vice versa. We are to bring Jesus to people. Amen. And bring the people to Jesus. So God's looking for someone who will stand in the gap. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the Lord said, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. God wanted to spare Israel from His wrath because God's heart is redemptive in nature. But because no one was willing to make the sacrifice to stand in the gap on behalf of the nation, His judgment fell on the land. So God wants to spare you first. He wants you to be saved. He wants your family to be saved. He wants your neighbors to be saved. He wants America to be saved. Would you agree with that? But God is looking for someone who will partner with Him in His mission and be willing to make themselves available for Him to use in that assignment. How many know that God gave us a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Amen. And we're not to preach the gospel in our own strength or witticism, but in the wisdom and the ability that God supplies us through His Spirit. So He said, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. God was looking for somebody who would stand in the gap. He said, before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I what? I found no one. Guys, we have a huge problem ahead of us here in this nation. Would you agree? But it's not too big for God. And God is waiting for His people to respond back to His heart, get into alignment, into agreement with His will. Amen. And so God will move through His church, all right, to make a difference in this land, to turn things around. Do you understand? It begins with God's people. And even judgment begins where? At the house of God. So God is sifting things and shaking things and setting things in order. Amen. He's separating the sheep from the goats, the wheat and the tares right now. I believe Jesus is coming. Amen. For a bride. He's coming for His people. And right now, these things that are happening, amen, are preparatory for what is yet to come. Hallelujah. And the Lord's going to return at the command of the Father. And in the meantime, God has given you and I the responsibility to stand in the gap. Amen. And to bring His kingdom reign into our circle of influence. Into our homes, into our own hearts first. Into our homes, into our communities. Where you work. Yes, Walmart too. Mankind, you and I have the legal authority to determine what happens on earth. I know we all say, well, God's in control. He is sovereign over all the earth, is He not? But sometimes what we're saying is that I have no responsibility. It's all on God. Are you hearing me? It's the fatalistic worldview. It's not God's view. God's view is He's looking for faith. in the earth. He's looking for partners, those who will believe his word and respond accordingly. They will come into agreement with what he wants to accomplish, and they will set themselves, amen, to seek him, his will, his purposes, and be an expression of his heart in the earth. God wants to fill you and I with the power of his Holy Spirit, amen. But he's looking for a vessel, amen, that is available and willing to go at his command. He knows the heart, amen. God's not going to pour out his spirit on an unclean vessel, amen. He's looking for somebody who has been cleansed through the blood of Jesus, because they have been repentant towards God, and now they submit themselves to God and make themselves available for God to now use, amen, to release his kingdom reign in the earth realm. And America can be saved. America can be turned around, amen, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. God, we want you to heal our land. And God, I pray, do the work in me first. Do the work that needs to be done in me first. Get me into that place where I need to be so that I am available for you to work through. Do you understand? God has given you and I the assignment on the earth realm to represent him. Therefore, it's not something that we should think of as optional, but it's something that we must do. We must obey God. We must pray. And I want to talk a little bit more about this as we go on, but what is effective prayer? And what are the hindrances to prayer? See, God gives you and I that authorization to make or affect change in the earth to the extent that we're in agreement with what he wants. We all have things that we want. And because he's a good father, he gives good gifts to his children. And sometimes our father, like any good father, will give good gifts to what? His children. And he'll give things, amen, just because he loves us. But what he doesn't want is for you and I to make an idol out of the thing that we possess and put that before him. A tablet can be a good thing, but a tablet can become, I see that cell phone back there. A tablet can be an idol. A cell phone can become an idol. Some people, they can't put the phone down long enough unless they're looking at the Bible. I'm not going to judge you. But, you know, can we put the phone down long enough to tune in to God and say, God, what are you saying? I want to hear from you. We must pray according to God's will. How many know this scripture? 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Are you guys hearing today? That if we ask anything, what, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we need to know God's will so we can pray God's will. You know, a lot of people don't know God's will. They don't know what God wants. So they pray amiss. They miss when they pray. They're not praying according to what God wants. And therefore, often their prayers are not being answered. And the problem is the enemy is running interference all the time to try to keep you and I from discovering what God's will is for our lives. Because once we know what God wants, then we can pray according to his will, and we know that it's going to happen. How many believe that every one of us in this room has been called to serve the Lord? Amen. Everyone. We're all ministers. We're also to ask in faith. We ask according to his will, but we must ask what? Believing and not doubting. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. I struggle with that sometimes. How about you? Sometimes I struggle with unbelief because the enemy is going to attack your prayer time, you know. He's going to try to get in your head and cause distractions or sow unbelief. So we need to learn how to fight. Amen. And stand our ground and refuse to take no for an answer. If we know it's according to God's will, then we can name it and we can claim it. We can stand on it. Amen. Not what I want, but what I know he wants. He said in verse 7, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now, you know, and I've shared this with you before, but God always works together with mankind, right, to accomplish his purposes on the earth. Remember the flood. He needed Noah, right, to build the ark, to the saving of his family. How about the creation of a nation? It took Abraham, didn't it? The father of the faithful, right? How about a person to lead Israel out of bondage of Egypt? Who was that? Moses, right? How about bringing back the people from captivity? That would be Daniel. To defeat Jericho, he needed who? He called Joshua, right? For the preservation of the Jews, he needed Esther. For the salvation of mankind, God needed to become a man. Why was that? Back to the beginning, God gave us, mankind, Adam's race, authority on the earth realm. That's why God took upon himself, amen, the form of a man. He came in the likeness of sinful Adam, yet without sin. Amen. He took upon himself a body. All right? And he did what? He had to come to the earth realm and become like us in order to be our Savior, to redeem Adam's fallen race, and to bring us into sonship and to a new beginning. He didn't come to patch us up, but he came to bring us into a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A brand new race of people. Amen. God's holy people. Amen. And so the salvation of mankind required that God himself became a man. And for the proclamation of the gospel, guess who he chose? He chooses you and I. For the proclamation of the gospel and to pray for his purposes to be accomplished. Now, Elijah, he prevailed on Mount Carmel because he persevered in prayer. Remember when there was no sign of rain? He didn't just say, "Well, God, we could use some rain today. Well, I guess it's not going to rain." Whisper a prayer in the morning, you know. No, Elijah sought the Lord. James spoke of him as he had an effectual, fervent prayer. Okay, he diligently sought the Lord, cried out to God, amen, on behalf of the nation for God to send rain. And it says in 1 Kings 18 and verse 43, he said to his servant, this poor servant, he had to keep going up on him and looking for the rain. He says, "Now go look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." So you think about this. He comes back and say, "I don't see anything." You ever heard the devil tell you that? "I don't see anything yet." But how many times did he go? It says he went seven times. And on the seventh time, what happened? Well, there just appeared a little tiny cloud the size of a man's hand, span of his hand, it says, right? He says, "Oh, get ready. It's getting ready to rain." You understand? He was a man of faith. He knew that was the sign that it's coming. God's hearing. We're getting a breakthrough in our prayer. Guys, we need to learn how to persevere until we get a breakthrough in our prayers. Amen. None of this just kind of this lazy, lackadaisical, "Now I lay me down to sleep." It's time to wake up from sleep. Amen. And get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Because God wants to move in the earth realm, but he's looking for someone who will make the sacrifice to stand in the gap to see his kingdom purposes accomplished. Can you say amen? And that means you and I are called to prayer. The good news is that we have a great high priest, don't we, who represents us in the heavens. Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore, he," Jesus, "is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he," what? "Always lives to make intercession for them." We have someone praying for us, praise God, to the Father, amen? "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." So prayer is both a privilege and a necessity. And so, first of all, for you and I to receive from God, there are a few things that we need to know. Number one, who God is. Who are you actually praying to? Does your God have a name? What's his name? The world has a generic term, just plain God, all right? But God has a name, amen? And there are many names in the Hebrew, amen? But he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living. He is the living God of Abraham, amen? And so you and I are called to pray to what? The Most High God. His name also is El Elyon, the Most High God. Amen. And call upon him, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit here. We have access to him, amen, and our prayers can be effective. We need to know that. In Jeremiah 32:17, I love this. O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is what? Nothing too hard for you. What is Jeremiah saying? He's saying, God, I know you can do all things. My faith, my hope, my confidence is in you because I know you are God who's created all things. And there's nothing that you cannot do. So he prays a prayer of faith. Faith is acknowledging who God is, knowing who God is. Amen. That he is the living God. That he is the eternal God, amen, and that he has invited us through the blood of the new covenant to come with confidence or boldly to his throne of grace, amen, so we can make our petitions known, and we have to believe, amen, that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6, right? So it says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly, what? To the throne of grace. How can we do that? Well, not because of my own merits. We can't be like the hypocrite who said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And he boasted about his tithing and all the things he did. And instead of beating his breast and saying, Lord, I'm not worthy of you, but because of your blood, I'm qualified. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice that qualifies me for your presence. Amen. And my confidence in what you have accomplished on my behalf, my faith in your blood, amen, gives me a confident assurance that when I call on you now, that you are there and you hear me and you will answer every prayer that's done in agreement. Amen. That's offered in agreement with your will and a heart that's in right standing with you. Hallelujah. We have access to him. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. He's not entered into a church building, amen. God doesn't dwell, amen, in churches with steeples, amen. You and I are the church today, right, that God dwells in, hallelujah. And which are copies of the true, the old pattern of the old tabernacle in the wilderness, amen, in the temple, were copies of the true, or the substance was Christ, right? But unto heaven itself, Christ has gone now to appear in the presence of God for us. Aren't you glad for that? James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Do what? Confess your trespasses first to one another. You stepped over the line with somebody. You got an ongoing offense. There's a problem with a brother or sister. Do what first? Confess it. All right? Deal with it. Don't try to run away and hide because it's always going to be there hanging on. I mean, it's going to be like a ball and chain. You need to break those chains and you need to obey God in forgiveness. Amen? And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, here it is, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And here it is in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Because sometimes, you know, we can esteem these Old Testament saints and believers, and we esteem them highly for their faith, amen. But we need to understand that they were just people, amen, just like us. And that's what he's trying to say here is, guys, Elijah was just a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, one of the greatest difficulties we have is maintaining our prayer life. Because life has a way of throwing curveballs at us. Things happen. We may have a schedule. And all of a sudden, something happens to disrupt that schedule. I've witnessed numerous times when people were just getting started in their faith, and they were just starting to get their roots, and they were coming to church, and they were excited about Jesus, and then they get sick. Or somebody hurts their feelings. Or they get a job offer that just looks too good to be true, and it probably was. It was a diversion, because the enemy's the master of distraction, isn't he? And he tries to get people off course. He doesn't want people gathering and being in fellowship. He doesn't want people, amen, spending time in prayer. Come on. He doesn't want people obeying the Lord, so he's going to look for ways to disrupt that time, all right, that you may have set aside. You know, if I can't pray when I set myself to do it every day, then I will find a time later or another time to make sure that I'm not just praying as I walk through my day, but I'm taking time to actually stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of others. See, God's heart, amen, is to pray for you. All right? Jesus prayed for us. Amen? We can pray for ourselves, but we're also called to what? Pray for one another. Pray for one another. And God delights in that. Did you know that God is delighted when we give of ourselves, amen, and give up maybe our time and what we wanted to do so that we can be with Him, because He's our priority in life. He's our delight, amen. We find our refuge in Him. He's the one that renews me, hallelujah, and renews my strength like the eagles, amen. And when I wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, right? I shall renew my strength in Him. Hallelujah. It didn't say he that whispers a prayer in the morning, but he who waits on the Lord shall renew their strength. How many know that we need to pray until we receive what we have need of? Amen. And God will strengthen and sustain His people as we rely upon Him. If we are not people of prayer, then we are not people of faith. Because if you believe that God is and He is a rewarder, then you will spend more time, amen, interceding on behalf of others, alrighty, and seeking the Lord's heart for His will for your life. If you say you have faith, then you will pray. Because prayer is our communication with the Lord. It's our fellowship with the Lord. Christianity, amen, is not about doing something on Sunday. It's our communication, amen. It's our connection to the Lord. It's our walking with Jesus, amen, and being an available vessel for Him. Isn't that a joy? God allows us to partner with Him. Why are we having trouble? Why? It's also because of the weakness of our flesh. The devil hates prayer, obviously. But prayer is the most vital part of your life. Prayer is the most vital part of your life. And I pray that God would give us all that revelation to understand that prayer should not be optional for us. It's necessary. It's our survival. It's impossible to walk in the Spirit without a healthy prayer life. Can you say amen to that? I know we can pride ourselves in how well we're doing at the moment. And we were able to quit a habit for a while or do good for a while. But guys, if we're not maintaining a healthy prayer life, that's not going to last very long. The enemy will take you back out again. We need to stay close to God. There's our stronghold. There's our deliverance. There's our protection. Amen. In this sin-sick, evil world, we can find a refuge in Him where we can experience His peace that passes what? All understanding. In Matthew 26:40, this is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to His crucifixion. He came to His disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You and I are no match for our adversary. And the problem, guys, is our flesh. You know, people blame the devil, but if you get control of your flesh, the devil can't touch you. If I get control of me, amen, then I'm not going to give him access. I'm not going to allow him to touch me. He can't touch you unless you give him permission. Amen? How do you give them permission? By yielding to temptation. How do you overcome temptation? By the strength that God provides you through His Spirit. As you pray and you seek God for strength, amen, He will keep you. He will sustain you. He will surround you. He will protect you. But prayer is not an option. Prayer is necessary because nothing happens without prayer. God has put you and I in position, amen, to accomplish His will on the earth. Every one of us here that's in Christ today, that's born again of His Spirit, somebody had stood in the gap. Somebody had prayed. Somebody had reached out. Somebody had witnessed to you. And so God's looking for someone. Anyone who will partner with Him and stand in the gap. Sometimes, guys, we have a misperception of prayer. What it is. In 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere. He made specific mention about the men here, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In other words, not just the ladies. I think most of the church, amen, has been built on the intercessions of the ladies, especially in America. It's time for men, amen, to rise up and pray. Amen. And to take their position as the head of the house. Come on. All right. As the priest of the household. Hallelujah. Well, I'll just let the wife do all the praying. I'll do all the playing. Or you're just going to ride on the waves of her intercessions. Do you understand that God delights in those who delight in Him? And those who pray, those who want to be with Jesus are the ones that really love Him. Come on. Say amen, somebody. Somebody that you love, you want to be with. You want to hang around somebody you love. You don't always have to be talking, but you want to be near that person. Sometimes my wife and I, we just go for a drive somewhere. We must be getting old. Now we like to go for drives. Margaret, let's go for a drive. And now, instead of just going, beelining it to where I'm going, the store or whatever, now I'm looking at, hey, check out that. In Florida, my dad called them Q-tips. You know, they get white hair, and he said, they're just like Q-tips, and they're always looking out the window. And now my dad's one, he said. And I'm starting to catch up, too, you know. But you notice older people, they start looking around at the scenery, right? And they're kind of like checking out. Hey, I never saw that before. Did you, Margaret? You know, when you're young, you're just like, you're just on a mission, you know, to get to where you want to go. And then when you get older, you start to slow down and say, what's the old saying? Slow down and smell the roses or something. Stop and smell the roses. Okay. So, I don't know why we went there, but that's where we went. Maybe we needed a break in this. I don't know. But God wants men to pray. And not just to rely upon the ladies. You know, to do it. And I think there's some truth to this, but I heard that during World War II, when the men went off to war, you know, a lot of the men had left the church to go to war. And so the ladies kind of stepped in and had to take care of business while they were away. And so then there went the doilies and the flowers and the pretties and the pinks and the, you know, and things started to change. And some of the men, they came back. This is just what I was told. I wasn't around then. That when they came back, it seemed like the church had become a little bit, well, feminine. So guys, okay to say, is that politically correct to say that? I don't care what's politically correct, what's biblically correct, right? But men need to be men. God wants us to be men. And Paul said, act like men, okay? Take your place. Take the authority that God has given you as a head of the house, amen, to protect, provide, pray for, amen, be an example to your children, to your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, amen. But He's saying, man, it's time for you to rise up, amen, and quit just depending on the wife to do all the praying in the household, amen. We need to see some men step up. Can you say amen? And I do thank God that we have a lot of men in this church, amen, that do pray, amen, that are leaders in their homes. Hallelujah. Can you say amen if that's you? All right. You know, guys, if we're loving our wives, as Christ loved the church, then you give yourself for your wife. In other words, she's more important than me. Okay? Her needs come first. I'm taking care of my wife. Yeah. How many know you score some good points, amen, when you start really loving your wife and you start living for her, all right, and not just for you? Because I found something to be true in our own relationship. When she knows, and I'm loving my wife like that, you know, all of a sudden she starts to feel the same way towards me. She starts saying, you know, and that's why sometimes we're going to go, nowadays when we try to go someplace, you know, a lot of times we don't plan ahead, we're spontaneous. But the problem with that is that she's saying, well, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? Because we're considering the other. You understand? And when you both consider one another, there's a sweet spot there. And you get along. You know, the problems that most of us face, even in our relationships, is when we start getting selfish. What about my needs? What about me? Well, if you start living for one another, amen, and it has to work both ways, yes, then you get along. It will work. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself, laid his life down for us. Hallelujah. Okay, back on. But sometimes the misperception of prayer, again, as I said earlier, is just sitting around waiting and asking for stuff. And sometimes that's what it is. You understand? Guys, if we're always looking for entertainment, for always wanting to feel good, you know, well, what's in it for me mentality, then many times you're not going to do what God calls you to do because you're just living by your feelings and by your emotions, not by faith. Sometimes my feelings get in the way of what God wants me to do. Anybody beside myself experience that? And this is where self-discipline comes in, and the Holy Spirit grants you and I, through prayer, the power to overcome my will and bring it under submission to God's will. Everything, amen, requires our connection to Him. All true ministry, all true life flows out of Christ and not out of us. Hallelujah. Everything got clear all of a sudden. Here's some misperceptions. Another one, that it can't be exciting. How many would agree with me that you cannot encounter the living God and not be excited? Here's the key, guys. Are you ready for this? When we pray, we need to touch the heart of God. You need to touch the heart of Jesus when you pray. When you get into agreement, into alignment with what God wants, what His desire is, and you start to intercede on behalf, okay, of others and for God's will to be accomplished, you touch the Father's heart. And when you touch the heart of the Lord, amen, you will be energized. You will be quickened. And all of a sudden, it's like I use often the illustration, you go from a power saw, give us this day our daily bread, to hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, glory to God. Are you hearing me? You get energized by the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden you find yourself, if you will, in the river of God. You're flowing in harmony with what God wants, and your prayers begin just to flow from the heart of God, all right? As the Spirit knows the deep things of the Father, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance everything we need to know, all right? What the Father's heart is, what His desire is, and as we are in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord, who's in agreement with the Father, there's a quickening that takes place, and you are energized, you are revived, amen? We don't have to wait for an event on the weekend. Through prayer, if you connect with God and what He wants, and sometimes, guys, it may start out a little dry. But you come before His presence with singing. Give thanks to the Lord, all right? Give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you start to feel things starting to break up. That old stagnant pond, all right? The dam starting to open up here. Amen? And then the living water begins to flow. Amen? And now you're in the river of God. And now you can pray with little effort. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We got to get in the Spirit. We got to be people of his presence. We need to be gluttons for the presence of God. Amen. And God will help you in prayer. And you'll know when you're touching his heart because you will be energized. You'll be quickened. You'll be strengthened by the Lord. Hallelujah. And then as you are practicing this, as you're faithful to pray, amen, then you'll find yourself praying more and even looking forward to time with the Lord. Amen. I hear that voice back there. Yeah. Can you say amen to that, guys?
Amen.
All right. How many of you say, I'm going to start praying more? Again, not just praying for the sake of sitting around asking for things, but discovering the heart of God, getting into harmony with the Father, and praying what he wants. It's a mystery. But you and I are kind of like the conduits, you know? And God wants to work through us in the earth realm. And so it's very important that we cultivate this prayer life because it is your lifeline. Remember again in James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The fervency is the fervency of the Spirit of God, guys. It's not just emotionalism. But God inspires your passion. You can become passionate. Sometimes my passion is inspired by the Spirit of God when I sing, when I praise him. Amen. Some people think, oh, he's really out of line or out of control. No, I'm just excited. I'm just experiencing God and I'm touching Jesus' heart. Amen. And you can't help but say, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When you're touching the Lord, amen, it's life-giving because he is a life-giving spirit. And we want to connect with the Lord in the spirit realm. Amen. For his will to be done. So here it is. Every prayer based on the will of God, which is the Word of God, offered in faith by a person in right relationship with God, that means a righteous person, is answered. So every prayer based on the will of God and offered in faith by a person in right relationship with God is answered. How do I get in a right relationship? Repent. Amen. Renounce your sinful ways. Confess your faults. Forgive. Get everything. Amen. Return. Get everything back in order. All right. And then put your faith, your confidence in God's promise. Amen. That those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Put your faith in the blood of Jesus. Amen. That avails for you. That's there on the mercy seat in the very presence of the Father. Amen. That speaks its better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for vengeance. The blood of Christ cries out for mercy. We can find mercy and the grace to help us. If a person truly believes God wants to answer their prayers, they will pray more. Once again, if we're in faith, guys will pray more. So what are some hindrances to prayer? Well, I already said one is selfishness. James said, if we're asking just so we can spend it on our pleasures, you know, God's not going to answer a prayer that will exalt our flesh. Just being selfish. How about secret sin? Psalm 66:18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So why sometimes people's prayers are hindered because of this very thing? As outwardly, we may have give the appearance that we're all that and that we're doing well and that we're so spiritual. But a tree is known by its fruit, amen? And eventually who we are on the inside will be manifest on the outside. Did you know that? So why don't we get right what's going on the inside? Get that right before God, amen? God doesn't want to condemn anybody. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God wants to forgive, amen? God wants us reconciled, brought back into right relationship with him. That was the gospel. That was the reason why Jesus died. It's so you could have sons and daughters in right standing with him, amen, that can enter into their priestly office and be an intercessor for him, stand in the gap between heaven and earth, and call in his kingdom reign, amen, into this realm. Hallelujah. Call it into your family. Call it into your home. Call the kingdom reign of God, amen, into your neighborhood in Jesus' name. We have seen in more than once where our neighborhood was starting to be taken over by certain elements. Amen. And we just started to get, which I used to be one of them, but we started to pray and seek the Lord and pray, God, we're asking you to establish your rule and your reign here. We're asking you to arise in our neighborhood and Lord, drive out your enemies. Hallelujah. And establish your reign of peace here in this place. Hallelujah. And Jesus and I, we did the effective fervent prayer. Amen. For some time back at Bethel, especially the other place we're at. Amen. Because we had some situations going on there that were getting really out of hand. And some of you know, some of you were back there and you understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And we've seen God clean the whole thing up. Amen. Didn't have to call the cops, didn't have to do anything. God just cleaned it up. Hallelujah. He drove it out. And you know, the same thing is true here. We pray for our neighborhood. We pray for this place. We ask God. How many know without the Lord, we're in trouble, amen, because the enemy will just set up camp, amen? So we need to pray, God, put a hedge of protection around my life, around my family, amen, around my home. Even pray around your car. When you get in your car, pray for God's protection, amen, before you head out on the road. All right? God wants to answer prayer, but he's given you the responsibility and me to petition him. According to his will, he will always answer, always. So secret sin, Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. True heart. That means that your heart is sincere. All right. Israel, they came before God and they showed love with their lips, but their heart was far from him. And even Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, we can do that even in church. We can put on quite a show. And guys, I don't have any problem with all somebody expressing themselves. You know that. If we feel like doing a Jericho dance or whatever, or march, we'd go for it, all right? Just don't swing from these chandeliers. They're not all that strong. So, no pew hopping. We don't have any pews. But, you know, I feel you should be able to express yourself, okay, in your love to God. Amen. But we don't want to do it hypocritically. Amen. We don't want to just do it to make people think we're all spiritual. We want to do it because we're doing it as unto the Lord. You remember when David danced before the Lord? He wasn't doing it to impress anybody. He was doing it before God. He danced before the Lord. Hallelujah. And people criticized him, didn't he? Even Michal criticized him. His own wife. Saul's daughter. For doing what? For just expressing his heart before the Lord. And what did he say? You know what? I'll be even more undignified than this. What did he say? I'll even be more undignified than this. He got over himself. How many know it's a good idea to do that? Sometimes the best way to get over yourself is just start shouting to God, praising the Lord, put a good dance on, all right? And get over yourself. But we don't want to do it so others are watching. We're not here to draw attention to ourselves. We want to draw attention to Jesus. Hallelujah. I know some people would not, probably not in this crowd, but there's some Christians that think, oh, that's just over the top. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but if you look at the Bible, it says, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people, right? Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Whisper a prayer. No. Sometimes that's all we have to do is whisper, isn't it? It's okay. Don't always have to be shouting. There's a time to be quiet, too. I'm learning how to do that. Okay. Here's another hindrance to effective prayer, unbelief. Hebrews 11:6, I said it already, he that comes to God must believe that he is. That's where you have to guard your mind. You have to guard your thought life because the enemy wants to get in there with unbelief. How do you best overcome doubt? By quoting the promises of God, speaking the word of God in your situation. Lord, you said, if two of us shall agree, as touching anything we shall ask in your name, it shall be done. Yes. Lord, you said if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. Yes. So we encourage ourselves and we guard against unbelief by speaking the word, because the word of God does what? It produces faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So to incorporate the word of God, if you don't have a lot of it in your memory, just open the word and or get a good promise book. Amen. And start praying and praying the promises of God. Hallelujah. That's in agreement with what God wants. Another one, guys, I want to just quickly, we're going to be few in about 20 to 50 minutes. No. Unforgiveness. What's another hindrance to prayer? Obviously, it's unforgiveness. God's not going to hear you, guys, until you get it right first with your brother and your sister. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. What did he say in verse 26? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, once again, and we're going to finish with this, what are the conditions of effective prayer? Number one, the will of God, right? Number two, the name of Jesus. Let's look at that. John 14:13. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7 gives us the condition. Are you ready? If you abide in me and my words, here it is, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I found that when I'm full of the word of God, amen, then my desires change. Amen. You start wanting what God wants. You start desiring what he wants. When you're full of the Spirit and the Word, hallelujah, you're going to say, God, I don't care about what I want. What do you want? What can I do for you, Lord? How can I put a smile on your face today? Are you with me? How can I love you back by offering my body back to you as a living sacrifice to be your servant and to represent you here in this world? Be an example for others. And to stand in the gap for others, especially the household of faith, my brothers and sisters. Guys, I appreciate your prayers. I pray for you every day. And I'm calling us all to a life of prayer because it is vital. It is necessary. Are you hearing me? It is your lifeline. You're not going to make it. You're not going to survive. And even though you may be present at church, you can be just completely defeated spiritually if you're not connecting and staying connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. I mean, he is your lifeline. You need to touch the heart of God. You need to learn how to touch the heart of God in prayer. When you touch the heart of God, you'll know this is what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. Guys, I'm praying for America. And then when I pray for America, it touches the heart of God. Because God wants his people, amen, to come together, to pull together, and to pray. We're starting a season of prayer. I'm going to encourage you even to fast and pray if you know how to do that. Amen. You don't have to, you know, you pray to God and ask God about that. Amen. But I think that we need to have a season of fasting and prayer. And we're looking forward to a wonderful time next weekend, amen, with Chris Davies as he comes. It's going to be the grand finale, but it's only going to be the beginning. I want us to understand something, that what we don't want to do is just have an event and then forget about it. I believe that God wants us, amen, to get charged, amen, to get, if you will, the paddles, the Holy Spirit paddles, and zap us back to life again, amen. Prime the pump, amen, and then keep the flow going, amen, through your praise, your worship, your thanks, amen, your petition. God will keep you alive through it all. He will strengthen you. He will protect you, but you got to have a prayer life. All right. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is the third way that we can have an effective prayer. How many know it's very important, once again, that we allow the Holy Spirit to govern and guide our prayer life? Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to pray. How many do that before you pray? Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to pray. I don't know how to pray. I can't pray effectively apart from you. All life comes from you. So in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. The word also means sighs, which cannot be uttered. It says the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. which cannot be uttered. This is a mystery, but God partners with us in this whole thing. And though we can't understand and see it all, we can find encouragement in the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one that comes alongside us to help us in our weakness. Guys, the more that I grow in the Lord and the more that I learn, the more that I realize how much I need Him. You know that you're becoming mature spiritually when you realize how much you need God. Are you hearing me? Because it's not of us. The substance is Christ. And what the world needs is Christ, amen, not us. We need to be set aside and we need to allow God to work through us as a vessel, amen. And so I need to rely upon the Spirit of the Lord. If I'm self-confident, then I don't have grace to help anybody. Some people learn how to do things in their own soul power. They learn how to do ministry in their own soul power. You know what I'm saying? They're relying upon themselves and not on the power of the Holy Spirit. But we need to learn how to rely, lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to give us what we need to say when we need to say it, to know what to pray and how to pray and for who to pray. Amen? God will help you. Ask Him. Lord, help me. I can't pray. Teach me how to pray, they said, Lord. Teach us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Start out with Father. Who is He? Who is our God? He's the God who's in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Amen. Not just any God, not some generic God, but the God of heaven. Amen. Holy is Your name. Hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come. Priority first. Lord, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. And then petition Him for your needs. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You can use that as a pattern. I don't suggest that you repeat this over and over as if God didn't hear it the first time. But use it as a pattern of how you would pray. Amen? So sometimes I'll start out with Father and give Him praise and glory and acknowledgement of who He is. Amen? And then praying for His kingdom to come in and His will to be accomplished in my life today. Amen? As in heaven, Lord, I want the same to be happening here on earth. Amen. And then, Lord, thank You for providing for me not only my natural food, but the food for my soul. Amen. My spiritual sustenance, my strength, the supply of Your Spirit that I need to overcome. Amen. The obstacles of this day and to be victorious as I rely upon His grace. Amen. And then, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Hallelujah. And deliver us. Pray for your family. Pray for others. God, deliver so-and-so. Protect so-and-so. Keep a hedge of protection around so-and-so. Hallelujah. And then why? Because, Lord, it's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. Hallelujah. We acknowledge all life comes from Him. You and I don't have anything that we did not first receive. Who we are, our abilities, our talents, it's all from God. So we give them back to God, amen, as an offering. Say, Lord, let me use them to glorify your name and to be a blessing to other people, amen, in this world. All right. I'm going to finish with this. Do you love God's presence? How many here love God's presence? How many know that God loves your presence too? All right? That's what it's been all about, guys, from the very beginning. Is man walked with God, amen, in the garden, right? Jesus restored that for us so we can walk with God again. Hallelujah. Free from condemnation, guilt, shame, fear. As we're walking with Him, we have supernatural peace and boldness and joy that will strengthen, amen, and help us every day. So God wants your presence. He wants to hear. He wants us to take time to be, to settle down and turn stuff off and just be with Him. In quietness and rest shall be your strength. Be still and know, what? That I am God. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I want to love you more. So I want to know you more. Because the more that I know you, the more that I love you. You are so good. God, thank you for being so faithful, a faithful friend who will always be there, Lord, for me. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak. Forgive me, Lord, when I forget you. God, bring us back to that place where we once walked with you. Bring us back to our first love. Lord, we want to love you more than that. We want to love you with all of our heart. So, Father, we ask you to reveal your heart to us, that we might know you, that we might delight in you, that we might rejoice in you, that you might be the center of all. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for taking care of us, for providing for us, for protecting us, for loving us so much, Lord, that you laid down your life for us. For God so loved the world. Father, I ask you to shed your love abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you to strengthen us with might in the inner man. In Jesus' name. Oh God, stir up the gift of God within each heart. Father, bring out that hidden treasure. Lord, those things that you've invested in each one of us, Lord, and some of those things that may be just sitting dormant, Father, I pray that you take the bellows of your Spirit and breathe upon us new life, Father. Quicken and strengthen and fan into flame the gift of God within us, Lord. That your life will be expressed out of us, Lord. That we'll be that diffuser of life in all places. That, God, we are carriers of your glory, of your presence. Create in us a hunger and a thirst for the living God, for you only satisfy, Lord. Forgive us for idolatry. And as a nation, God, forgive our sin. Wake up your church throughout this nation and bring your church back to you, back to life again. Father, we pray for a great awakening. Let heaven come down. Let the glory of God come down in this nation again. Captivate the hearts and the minds of the people. Arrest every wayward son and daughter. Arrest every sinner. And let the fear of God come upon every soul, that people will cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Father, we're asking you for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit. For we know it's not by might nor power, but by your Spirit. So we are hungry. We are thirsty for you. You are the fountain of living waters. Refresh us, renew us, revive us. O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, keep a hedge of protection around our hearts and minds as we leave today. Keep us in your perfect peace. And remind us, Lord God, of what we've heard today, that we will put it into practice lest we forget. In Jesus' name, amen.